Blog Talk Radio.
Alathia, greetings and hotep. You've got your Omega 7 live here on the all-new featured Oracle Divination Network. Now that you tuned in today, this is the second series. This is the second series of our first season. We are on a whole new kick on mind, body, soul, and spirit. We're looking at how the priestess, the Babalaw, the devotees can be more of a healer in our society. We're looking at issues and how to overcome health issues. And our first series was featuring on the four big issues in the African-American families and household. And that is the sugar diabetes, type 1, type 2, and type 3, and then we looked at renal dialysis disorders, kidneys, for those of you who might not be familiar with the actual pronunciation in the Latin world. Then we are looking at also the big C, the cancer. And that is running rapid in families throughout the nation. And host for the evening, I am Omega 7 and Tribe. I have been with this particular radio show now for over 9 years. We are heading on our 10th year. And this is a big celebration for health. And as we know, the 400 and some odd years has been marked for this year, 2019. And most of the nonprofits are preparing right now as we speak for programs that they can introduce to give the world an idea of what people like. Well, we are throwing our hat in the ring, and we're talking about renewing your health, your faith, your mind, body, soul, and spirit, because that's what it took. Over 400 years of slavery, not just our good looks, but our ability to stay well and healthy. Because as you know, many, many centuries ago, there were no hospitals for the Negro. There were no restaurants and hotels for the Negroes. We had to consume from a book called The Green Book, safe houses that you could go to. Now, there are no safe hospitals you can go to. A lot of people have died outside of the hospital with the administration refusing to treat the patients, and they died right there in the emergency room. Well, that doesn't have to occur anymore, because African Americans are some of the first doctors, pathologists, kinesiologists, alternative medicine doctors, and some folk might even call them witch doctors, but I prefer to call them alternative doctors, and we do have them. But a number of hospitals will not accept the philosophy of an alternative doctor in an allopathic setting. So we are going to be telling you about allopathic episodes and not about, we're going to be telling you about alternative practices and not about the allopathic medicine situation, because they're dealing with drugs and we're talking about. I want that to be made clear here today. When a patient is diagnosed with cancer, they immediately are told there are two options of treatment, and they are chemotherapy, several rounds of that, and then radiation as the last treatment that they top it off with, as if chemotherapy hasn't killed you before you take the radiation. Now, I've been accustomed to this treatment plan ever since I was a little girl. We went in to talk to the doctor about my father's pancreatic cancer. And at that point, when they expound upon what the conditions were, options he had, what his diagnosis was, first of all, and how they planned to treat it with the rounds of chemotherapy. They were going to electroshock it with the chemotherapy treatments. And if that didn't kill it, they were going to come back with the radiation. And they usually came back with the radiation anyway to top everything off, to make sure they killed all the bad cells. And sometimes some good cells had to be killed. They had to jeopardize those good cells. And when you jeopardize those good cells, you can run into a problem. You're killing off the cells you need. Now, as a young child, I was made to understand this. I had to sit in the room and listen to the conversation. I then knew that if you burn anything with fire, you could possibly kill something. But my father, nevertheless, had the rounds of treatment one time and said, look, put me actual artificial bag in my stomach now that my stomach has been burned away. You must replace it with something. I must have some type of bag to digest that food in. My father then proposed that he would wear the bag, and they said that he asked him, how long will it last? They said probably 7, 8, 9 years. We don't know. So my father beat cancer. It didn't come back for a long time. For 15 years, he wore this bag and it back. He had to digest outside of his stomach because his pancreas was shot. It was gone. It was actually what was left of it that the doctors did not burn off. It was deteriorated from the treatment. Nevertheless, this began to run a gamut in our family for cancer. And we were careful to look out for it and to make sure that nobody else in the family had that gene for cancer. But cancer isn't a gene. It's a lifestyle. And it's acquired disease through diet. Okay? A self-inquired through diet. Organ, if your parents had one. However, you can turn that thing around if you build up your body to fight off any free radicals. And free radicals are what cause cancer. They come into the picture and they damage the cell and cause it to mutate and to mimic other cells and to multiply too rapidly. So you have genes that are multiplying too rapidly. And when they look at the cancer, they look for whether or not it's benign or malignant. And benign means that it is stable. It's not growing. It means that it's growing rapidly and something needs to be attended to immediately. So I learned all these terms from going in and out of the hospital, watching my father take these chemotherapy treatments, watching the family lose hope. And finally, when he decided that enough was enough, he took his bag and went on his merry way, and he lived with cancer. for several years, to be 7 years, somewhere around there to be exact. He lived beyond that time. So he felt he had beat cancer. So he talked to all of us children about how to beat cancer and how to live with cancer. Never knew that anyone in our family would contract cancer. The first person that contracted cancer in our family was one of my elder's brothers. He did not want anyone to know. When you work in a mill, you're an easy target for cancer. And a number of our relatives worked in the mill and were exposed to asbestos and all types of chemicals that would expose you to cancer. So when my first brother developed cancer, he hid it from us. He didn't want us to know. He suppressed it. He went for the treatment. He thought it would be a small incision and not repetitive, and that he could get over it. He could fight it. He was suffering from lung cancer. And then he allowed them to go in and expose the cancer to air. And then it multiplied and duplicated and ran rampant and went straight for the brain. When the cancer has been exposed to air of some sort, I understand that it multiplies, it metastasizes, and then it metastasizes in the lungs, and then it metastasizes in the other, or metastasizes in the brain. And that is the final stage where there is no We were yes, as we were just saying, we're talking about Maddie Harvey's comeback to overcoming the Big C cancer at the third stage, which was considered as inoperable, where they could not reach the cancer to remove it. Nevertheless, Maddie Harvey has beat cancer, and it's been over 10 years now since the cancer has returned, and she is clear of cancer, may I report. Maddie Harvey fought very hard. Her spirit was strong, and she had a commitment to believe in her son's methodology for alternative treatments to cancer and the health. Her whole diet had to be changed. She had to come off all acid foods and subscribe to alkalinity foods, including her water had to be alkaline. So my house had to be stocked with alkalized foods and cell food, which one of the chemists recommended for her, the cell food. We've never gone on live radio to talk about her treatment plan. I am doing it for the benefit of the series that we're talking about, Healing Thyself, Mind, Body, Soul, and Spirit. People need to know about this. Yesterday, we talked about the sugar diabetes and the type 1, type 2, and type 3, and onset, early onset diabetes. Today, we like to address the cancer from a perspective that I can speak from, because I literally was there, and I observed the treatment plan that Mrs. Maddie Harvey received. I observed the techniques that were using, and it's not a mystery to me, and it's not a fallacy, and it's not some storybook tale that she has told the world. I actually witnessed her treatment plan and saw the recuperation of her body transform from a wilted old body who was burnt with chemotherapy and radiation, well, chemo, and who literally was at the point I saw her come back through these alternative measures of alkalinity. Her alkaline was checked daily to see if it measured to a certain point. May I remind you, I'm not a doctor or not a member of any organization that ascribes to allopathic medicine nor alternative. I am not a doctor. I'm a lay person. So I have to tell you from my perspective of a lay person what I observe and what I know to be true. Maddie Harvey went through a series of alterations of body talk. And this was a method used to manipulate her spine and her body to address the cancer. And as far as I'm told, through her particular practitioner, he was like, you and I both know that is rather difficult to avoid from having acid in your body. But what I can say is that she adhered to it very, very closely. There were to be no more acids in the beverages such as the pops. And that was one of her downfalls was the pop. But what I will say is that she committed to this new lifestyle and it became a way of life for her. And her diet and the foods that she ingested had to be a certain portion and a certain frequency. As you know, foods kill. Frequency. And when I say that, these foods had to be energized and they had to be electrolyte because our body is a chemical makeup of a robot and we require certain electrolytes and certain fire foods and cool foods to make our body operate correctly. Well, her son got her body back on that kilter that she can operate at a high frequency. And I began to take on the diet and utilize it as well by removing certain meats out of the diet, gradually reintroducing some of them using more plant protein than meat protein. Meat carries a lot of acid, and most people don't know that. They just consume a lot of meat for their protein. Well, you can get your protein through leafy vegetables and grains. From the meat, you can get your produce, your protein from produce as well, from some of your fats and your nuts and grains. But you certainly have to understand that they have pumped up these particular cattle and meat with all kinds of hormones, which we ingest in our body and further cause us to be subject to free radicals. Now, I wanted to speak to you about free radicals. Free radicals is something we introduced Maddie to early on. Even though she wasn't a scientist or had a background in this area, we had to explain to her that she had to watch for the free radicals, the empty calories, the products on the shelf that had pesticides and preservatives in it because they were chock full of free radicals. And you need antitoxics in your body to fight these free radicals so that they don't build up in your body and start to kill your cells off and start your cells to mutate and rapidly grow. That is a sign of cancer when a cell mutates and rapidly grows and reproduces itself and mimics other cells. And then you have something called malignant tumors. And malignant tumors can, and when he lets you know if the cancer is malignant or benign. And if it is benign, it is not growing rapidly. It is stabilized. But once it becomes malignant, it is rapidly producing itself. And these cells produce after their own kind, and they mimic others, and they multiply so rapidly that they develop a mass, some sort of mass that has to be removed out of the body. Now, I want to tell you that as I heard about the plan that was going to be used on Mrs. Maddie Ruth Harvey, I clearly understood that you can treat yourself through diet as well as heal yourself through the diet. And I knew that it needs to be cooperation on the cook's part because I had to prepare these foods and I had to make sure that I was preparing these foods without acid because acid was the very thing that was tearing her body apart and reproducing cancer cells. So our water was the first thing we tackled. We tackled the alkalinity, the water, high in alkaline. So we had to go somewhere and find this water and make sure we had a proper place for purchasing it on a regular basis, because we cooked with this water and we prepared her vitamins with this water. And she didn't drink the tap water, and she didn't drink the water out of the plastic bottles from the store. It had to be freshly ran alkalinity water from a health food store. So I then contacted the health food gentleman who specialized in cell food and who talked about using high alkalinity strips to measure your alkalinity, determine which foods are alkaline. And this gentleman had produced a product called cell food, and you drop this cell food into your water, and it helps to alkaline whatever you're drinking. I had him on my show once. And isn't it funny? I had previously had him on my show, and he was the one that reminded me that you can address and tackle cancer through alkalinity. And my brother had already known this. He was already trained in this area. So when I brought him on my show, I had him to speak to my family about this whole process, so we would be able to anchor in the family on this whole methodology so that they would be sold out and committed to this concept, because it had to be a concept that the whole family was introduced to, so they wouldn't think it was strange and break camp and take her off the whole treatment plan. This treatment plan was worth more than any form of radiation or chemotherapy, because this treatment form was an ancient treatment form that came from our ancestors that we had forgotten about, that in the mountains and various different places you can ascertain water that actually will give you life. There is life in water, but it has to be tempered with the right mechanism, whether it be tempered with distilled water or is tempered with alkalinity. It has to serve a purpose, because water holds life, and over 80 to 90% of our body is made up of fluids. And we also knew that in the vegetables and in the fruits, there was a large portion of water. So we had to prepare and ingest in this woman as much fruits and vegetables as possible, because there would be a large portion of water. The body becomes dehydrated when it gets sick. It holds on to everything, and it makes it look like you're fluid bound and you have all this fluid on you, but yet your body is afraid of losing fluid, so it retains fluid, because you are flushing out a large portion of your fluids along with your mineral supplements. Why so many doctors immediately put patients that have high blood pressure on diuretics? They want to run the fluid off their body, not thinking about that this person is going to become dehydrated, losing their most valuable mineral, potassium. And that is what you see a large portion of African Americans on, is a supplement of a big pill called potassium, because they have taken their body of the potassium, and they have to replenish it and place it back. But we know that potassium in its natural form is the best way to absorb and to have retention of potassium. Taking a pill sometimes means that it's not going to dissolve. It will not be intaken and resolved into the lower intestine. It will sit in the stomach, and it will not dissolve. It will end up in a form for absorption, not in a pill form. But nevertheless, we further dehydrate these particular patients. We're dehydrating them. When they come in the hospital, they immediately hook up an IV because they know that they're dehydrated. Dehydration can burn up the cells because there's no fluid there. And one of the things I learned in the emergency room, immediately hook up an IV. And once they to get the dehydration down and water in their body, then life comes back. So these are simple things that we need to know about. And we go in the doctor's office, we haven't a clue why are they recommending a high IV and a slow drip. And why is that patient guy staying in his hospital overnight to get that IV? Because he's got to get some fluids back in him because he's dehydrated. Dehydration is what can kill you. Now, we knew all this brother man, one. So when he began to tell me this, I knew this because I worked in the hospital, and that was the first thing that we did in the emergency room. And they never told me, but I already knew they're getting fluids back in the body, and fluids is what's going to keep that person here. Now, getting back to doctors giving patients these pills that are diuretics. Most patients that come in with high blood pressure may be exemplifying this high blood pressure because the body needs something else. It may be dehydrated, and it may be signaling the body that I need some fluids, and you better get me some, else I'm going to keep pounding and pounding on your blood pressure, and it's going to keep going up and up. Now, is there anything wrong with the blood pressure? No, it's working fine, the overall body too. But why go after the cause of this blood pressure pounding like this? Why doesn't he say, let's look and see what's going on, what is causing it? No, he immediately gives the beta blockers that will block the heart from pumping too fast, or to give these diuretics. And every other black person you see is on a diuretic, and they're running to the bathroom, flushing out all of their good minerals constantly. Whenever they take a water pill, they can't leave the house. Their body is bogged down because it is rushing into the bathroom to flush out all their magnesium and potassium. And those are the minerals that are essential for life. And it also, the magnesium is used for the sugar diabetes as well as for blood pressure and potassium. Now, if you can send a man to the moon, why can't you make a tablet that actually has a slow drip potassium that comes out as needed in the body? Why does a patient have to take this big potassium tablet, which is not absorbable, and it rots out there? And yet they've got this big prescription for all this potassium that they're not using, they can't use, it won't get into the intestine, it can't be absorbed. So why are we still antiquated on using poor methodology for treatment? Now, let's get back to cancer. After these chemotherapy treatments, there's nothing else to give a patient but medicine from throwing up. But nothing to cauterize this treatment that you just given, where you now open up the blood vessels and you haven't cauterized them to stop the hemorrhaging. They're still suffering from the after effects of this chemotherapy treatment. But yet we say this is a key treatment of choice, the only treatment of choice. They don't recognize any non-treatment. Why is that? Because chemotherapy is such a moneymaker, it would infringe upon their benefits of making money from chemotherapy. Most patients go to their Medicare and Medicaid to cover these chemotherapy treatments. Do you know that that money is still not enough? They have to go to the family to extract additional dollars and cents to pay for those weekly, which you see the patient throwing up, losing weight, losing hair, but yet they say they're being cured. Do you have to suffer more before you are cured? Do you have to damn near die before you're cured? Well, my brother didn't think so. He found a way to keep hair on her head and have, and her to have less side effects. No throwing up effects, none whatsoever. Brushing through her skin and her face, the life coming back in her cheekbones, in her smile. We saw all this happen, and these are just alternative mechanisms for just the diet alone. There was no pills that she had to ingest, other than the cell drops that went in the water. No pills whatsoever. But yet we keep thinking that there's a magic pill that the doctor can give us. Diabetes, cancer, renal dialysis. Well, there isn't any pill that can be given. These are all pills that mask the symptoms. There's none but the Father, I tell you, that has the answer to the cure-all. Everything the doctor gives you, he'll tell you, it is not a cure-all. It's something to mask the symptoms, having the side effects. But nevertheless, there are tons of side effects with cancer medicine. I've watched it in my brother, who also contracted cancer. Now, I believe that because my father working in the mill, it allowed the children to be subjected to this cancer. And not only him, but several of his children had cancer. And several of them fought it. And two of them beat the route of the cancer. But Maddie Harvey was a little different. She was 80-some years old when she was first diagnosed. And in her eldest stage, she was able to fight it under the auspices of good, healthy, sound reasoning and food preparation and no drugs whatsoever, no pills whatsoever. Now, granted, she had side effects from the chemotherapy and was having some pain after that. Remember now, the chemotherapy was burning her up. It was like fire shut up in her bones. And sometimes she had to be walked through this side of therapy. But once it was clearly out of her body, she no longer had those side effects from the chemo. Nor were there any side effects from her diet, nor the alkalinity of the foods or the alkaline water. Maddie Harvey had already treated several other clients throughout the country for cancer. I walked with him to meet with one of the clients he had who was dying of cancer. So I was there. I heard the man's testimony of how successful he had been. But sometimes when you've had various different routes and you don't have that particular doctor there with you on a regular basis, you can contract the cancer again and it can come back and start all over again. So who's afraid of the big bad wolf? And it's okay to say so, because that's what lets us know that we're doomed and we're going to check out of here with the big C. Well, you don't have to all check out with the big C. You can fight through the big C. And you can learn how to live with the big C. And I'm preaching this message because I'm the youngest child of these 9 children who contracted cancer and sugar diabetes. Yes, I am the youngest. And I intend to beat all of them through information, change of diet, and repetitively searching for other solutions of alternative methods. And because most of my brothers and sisters had to check out of here on one of those tickets, I aim to make it a better place for other people who have diseases. Oh, I won't say diseases because I was told that they're not diseases, they're conditions. So if they're not a disease and not brought on by a virus, then I know I have a chance to fight the hell out of them. But what I want you to know, and Maddie Harvey would love for you to know, I'm going to get her on this airwaves in the next future. She has been one of our co-hosts on the show. She's been our prayer warrior who's prayed her way through conditions. And her voice was gone when she first started. She gained her voice back and people did not recognize her. She will be on the airwaves to talk to you personally. I will get permission for her to do that. She's up in age now, and she is finding her way on her own, even though she has become blind. Now, a lot of people don't realize that diabetes can cause you to become blind, but she never was diagnosed with diabetes. Supposedly they said the drops didn't cure it, and she became blind, along with three of my other brothers, JC, Edward, and they became blind. And what I want you to know is that you have to keep tabs on this condition, because this is a family. The family of the black race have been cursed with these diseases, told that if one family member get it, you all are going to get it. So routinely, if you come in and give your history to a doctor, he writes down on your chart that someone in your family has had diabetes or cancer, then quite naturally, the medicine that he gives you are going to induce some of these conditions. And you have to be very careful about that. And some people jump up and start taking insulin and gotten a second opinion, and you can induce insulin problems through taking insulin itself. So we don't know that. So the more medication you give, the more likely you are to get type 2 diabetes. And when you haven't even been diagnosed for onset early diabetes. So we got to be very careful that we don't look to our diet and to our herbs first and find out what are the herbs that can cure dialysis. What are the herbs that can cure potential sugar diabetes? One of them is cinnamon, and that can be easily introduced into your diet with your cup of tea every morning and inducing that natural cinnamon. It's a big discussion on the research of cinnamon. Research cinnamon and which forms that are out there. That's a food additive. I am not practicing medicine here. I'm not giving you any advice on medicine. I'm telling you that you can introduce a diet that will be your medicine. And I intend to that will be your medicine. And you can see how I eat and go into my kitchen and see how I digest food. And I know that I'm mechanical and I'm biological, and I have to have frequency because glucose creates frequency in the blood to give me fired up energy. And without sugar, I cannot function. I will not have energy, and neither will you. So we've got to get an understanding that our diets are the first thing that we must take offense to. We can fight a war through changing our diet just with our knife against these man-made conditions because of diet, just with our spoon and fork. And what we ingest will forevermore be reflected on our bodies. Some people are not digesting their food. It is just settling in the stomach, and it's fermenting, and it is developing fungus, and it's growing, and you're growing amoebas who are constantly hungry all the time, and they're snatching the food away, and you're feeding these amoebas, but yet you're starving to death. Why are so many African Americans starving to death and eating and consuming large sums of food that are blowing them up? As we see the women that are blowing up, we're wondering, why is she so obese? If she's consuming meat that have hormones ingested in there, it's quite naturally the hormones that you ingest from the animals are going to go in your body and cause you to become obese as well. We have to look at obesity as being a problem that's plaguing the black community, and we have to look at buy the foods that are going to make us healthy. Now, you remember in the slavery days, they gave us all of the rut of the food that the Caucasian didn't want, and we took it and made the best of it, and we developed health problems, yes, some of us, but we knew how to make the food into a delicatessen and to heal our bodies. Now, we know now that pork is bad for us, and some of us even found out that Africans weren't were fed and grown on meat. They didn't have anything around but the goats. So maybe a little goat meat, but not all this heavy pork and beef. So we have to get an understanding that in order to get our protein will come from our leafy vegetables and fruit. You can gain your 23 amino acids from mixing your grains, your rice, and your various different nuts and putting them together to create a holistic 23 amino acids. And we have to understand that these amino acids are what helps our body. Your body must be sparking with electrified energy. In order for you to have energy, you need that energy to spark your brain, and the fat needs to be there. Neural synapse and pass the messages on so you're not slow to respond and develop early Alzheimer's disease. That's another condition that we're going to be adding on that African Americans are being diagnosed with, early Alzheimer's disease. Why is that? Are we losing the fat in our brain? Are we losing the ability to pass messages from one synapse to the other? Well, when you give medicine that is like beta blockers, it's blocking the fat from going into your brain. And that's where you need to have the most fat so that the body can process and can have short-term and long-term memory. But when you're depleting the brain of its fat, one of the main substances that you need, when they tell you that you cannot have eggs because the eggs are causing you to have triglycerides in your body, no one ever told you you needed the fat from that egg to help that brain process. Now you have a depletion of fat in the brain and more people diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease than ever before, as they've been told that they cannot have eggs and they cannot have cholesterol. All cholesterol is not bad for you. And this is something they're now coming back and reversing. Go ahead and have your cholesterol. You need it for your brain. If you don't have that brain food, you cannot think. You cannot recall. You cannot process. And you're being killed with the concept of depleting that cholesterol. Now you're walking around here and you are a potential mess because your brain is not functioning. You have well put who can't process a thought because they're developing early Alzheimer's, and the drinking of the alcohol will also cause the memory loss. But yet, you have patients that need their fat in their diet in the morning. They need a cage-grown egg that has all the essential fatty acids in it, all all essential fatty acids, 3, 9, and 6. Fat is there, the good fat that you can pick and choose between, the good fat that helps to build your brain. So it's very important that we look at what kind of eggs are we buying when we go to the store. Buy the cage eggs. Yes, I know they cost like $2.30 or $2.50. Buy them anyway, because you're going to consume those eggs day by day to put that fat back in the diet. That was one of the things that I had to teach my brother. Put the eggs back in there. Cholesterol, okay. You just have to make sure you select the right strands of fat. Don't go buying cholesterol and introducing the 2-strand fat, but the 1-strand fat is what we need in our diet. And we need to look at more cottage cheese, more milk that is sour, more curdled milk. And kefir is another form of milk that they now learn how to make on the farms. And some people drink the raw milk that is not homogenized and processed. So we've got to get a better understanding of what we're putting in our bodies. We used to have mother wit, and we could sense it was bad. We didn't need classes to teach us this. Now we're too far away from the farm, and they're taking the seeds out of the actual we are consuming vegetables that are empty of any valuable nutritional vitamin or mineral because they're dead on the inside without a seed. So these are the things that we have got to remember. And we've got to remember that even if we have to process some of this food, can it, put it on our shelves, function with foods that don't have their preservatives in them. Their preservatives alone are killing some free radicals in these preservatives. We must use antitoxins against. That's why they are now selling the tablet called antitoxin to fight off these free radicals that are killing you and I. But nevertheless, that was not only and just as much as her mind would allow her. She attempted to change her diet. Her son stayed with her for 5 additional years to lay down the pattern of how she should eat, making the changes in his sister's house so that she could eat the proper diet. I watched her as she grew young again and renewed herself, just as you and I are going to have to do. We can no longer go in the hospital and lay our troubles on the table for a doctor. We go into the hospital when there's an acute case of emergency. But when it comes to alternative, preventative maintenance, African-American, your kitchen is your pharmacy. A man that was Blackfoot Indian, his mother taught him that her kitchen was the pharmacy. There were no doctors for us when I was coming up. Everything was done through this medicine man that raised me. He went out into the yard to pick his herbs and to pick his vitamin and treatment of choice for us. He knew how to make tinctures, infusions, and salves. He was well accustomed to this. We don't have a medicine man around anymore. We don't believe in him. We believe in the almighty doctor and giving him all of the homage. But you must, African-American, result back to wondering why so many African-Americans are now being diagnosed with those big ones. The big C cancer, which we know there's a cure for. Renal dialysis, which is on the all-time high. The kidney is being burned out, and so many people have to have kidney transplants. Then not to mention, they're saying that the pancreas is off kilter. Well, we now know that it's not the pancreas, but the enlarged liver that is full of gall needs to be detoxified of the fat so that it can properly send the beta cells to the pancreas, which is later on destroyed because of a lack of signaling from the liver. So now we run around with the wrong diagnosis saying it's the pancreas that's causing all this problem. Let's remove the pancreas. There's nothing wrong with the pancreas. It is the liver that is not functioning, who's toxic, and whose toxicity has poured over into the organs of the other body. And that because we digest and detoxify everything through the liver, there's so much gulp going through the liver that the blood is heavy and thick and cannot flow through the veins, because it's not being properly detoxified and all of the poisons are getting into the bloodstream. And we must cure the blood, and when we cure the blood, we cure diseases. Dietetic problems can be mimicked as a disease. And I repeat, sugar diabetes is not a disease. It's a carbohydrate inability to digest because the liver is not functioning right. So we must look at, once we change our digestive system to the problem, we're not looking at a viral ingested disease. or someone being exposed to someone else. These are not viral diseases. They can be changed and re-implemented and reintroduced to our diet. Let us look at what the Bible did tell us, that the herbs were, that is when they made the statement that use herbs to heal yourself. And you know you have to have minerals because they cannot be replenished naturally. Your vitamins will always be all empty calories. And your minerals have to be supplemented on a daily basis. That is why in the body, and when you become dehydrated, you immediately lose all access to your minerals. And we must understand how to replenish the minerals back through addressing our electrolyte deficiency. Some people see that they can give Pedialyte to children, or you can give that to a grown-up too if they're highly replenished and dehydrated, because dehydration is the first thing that a doctor looks for to see if that patient is going to expire. If he becomes too dehydrated, his body can burn up without having the fluids they need. Now, I want to say that most people are going to call in and they're going to say, well, I don't believe the cancer. I don't believe that one has the ability to cure cancer. Well, it's up to you what you believe. And Jesus said, by their faith is how they were healed. And based on what you believe is how you heal. If you don't want to believe anything, then I think, by golly, there is no regulation or any type of reinforcement that says that you have to be healed. But he did not say that people got to be able to enter into the kingdom because they just knew. He said it's by their faith. So faith comes with that repentance. And so in order to be healed, faith is the first prerequisite. You must believe you can be healed. So when a mother believes so heavily in a young man, it is just her faith alone that has healed her. And not any type of treatment, but the faith. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. So we must have some faith and some belief that we can be healed. We must predicate our faith on something. Usually it's on, and don't be so quick to say it's what I've seen. You don't have to see something to believe it. You just have to know it. But I led so many times of our life on all sorts of issues that have nothing to do with what we know. And now is the time you've got to stand on what you know and not just on what you believe. Now, I'm doing this to make sure we exercise our own alternative have been a winner and been successful. We have always known about the witch doctor. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking about Maddie's battle with cancer and how she overcame cancer and adhered to a diet of choice that was recommended by her son, a diet high in enzymes and low in fatty foods, a diet that was low in acids, and how she maintained that lifestyle, and she's now coming up on her 86th birthday in March, and we're celebrating a renewed life for her of being on this particular alkaline diet. I know that some of you are looking for all this process overnight. Maddie was committed to her treatment plan, and she loved the brethren, and she prayed, and the brethren prayed her through. So it comes with perseverance and praying, and the prayers of a righteous and fervent man or woman will avail much. And that's why much was availed for her. Most people think that she's a miracle. Some of her friends that see her, they proclaim her a miracle. I know she is too, because she was nearly dead before we took her off of the chemotherapy treatment. Some of the family will now confess that their brother is a healer, that he did heal his mother from cancer. Now, luckily, she's never been diagnosed with sugar diabetes. Thank God. There is no sign of that, and she's been tested for that. And she's also been tested to see if the cancer came back. It has not come back, and we are so happy that it has not come back. And we are continuing with the diet. I will be discussing more about how to change your diet. I'm going to be giving some food classes, because it was all preparation of food and how we introduced these particular various natural foods to her life. You have frequency, and you must have energy to combustible energy to offset your mechanical body. You cannot continue to eat these things off the shelf that are prefabricated, that are compounding your liver with all sorts of toxicity. And the one thing you can do for yourself is begin to cleanse your liver. And the doctors who are pushing this diet are saying that your body only needs to eliminate 1% fat in the liver for it to start functioning properly. That liver can be obese and overlarge and cause a lot of problems to the pancreas, and it could mimic the problems that you think the pancreas has, but in reality, it's the liver and its inability to digest gall. If you see people that have a stomach that they cannot lose, most of the time, it is that the liver is not functioning properly. And we definitely want to get this thing under control. But African-American people, I know that you are well aware of the fact that the average persons in your family have been diagnosed with sugar diabetes and renal dialysis and cancer. Now, why do we have to have these big-ticket indigestive problems? We have to look at, are we eating right? Can we change our eating habit? Now, some doctors have discovered that these tribal people have the missing link. They have the cure for all these diseases that I talked about, and they don't experience sugar diabetes because of their diet being changed, and their diet is not like ours. So we've got to find out who are these tribal people that hold these particular gifts of how to cure these diseases. And we can connect with these tribal people and talk to them about helping us in our community. And we have got to start canning and preserving our own foods so that we can bring life amongst our tribes. Thank you so much for talking with me on that note. And I want to say, if you want to call in, now's the time to call in with questions and answers. We're taking your phone calls. This is your Omi Inka Live, and we are taking your phone calls. And your phone calls are invited here. And I like to say that if you do not call in, we cannot answer your question. So we want you to make sure that you're calling in at the right time. And now is a few minutes you have to call in. And then we'll be going off the air. We want you to stay tuned in. We're doing the whole series. We'll be back at you tomorrow. We had a little complication on time today, but we'll be back at you tomorrow approximately around 1 or 1:30. So please look for the advertisement. We had a little confusion where I had posted today's show for yesterday, but we've corrected that now. And we want to thank you for allowing us to be ourselves. And Maddie Harvey will be tuning back in to talk with you. We've got to get the hookup and connection for her. But become a follower. And become my friend. Go out and sign up and become my friend, because we are looking for more leaders in our community. Thank you so much, and do have a pleasant day. Odabo.